This past week, Barack Obama took to Twitter to lay a claim to the economic recovery that America is experiencing today. Interesting he could do that, but he's yet to tweet any support for Joe Biden. But anyway, does Obama's claim of credit come with any supporting facts? Or was he just a benefactor of being in the right place at the right time where there was nowhere to go but up? With us now to discuss this matter is the president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, David Williams. Thanks for being here today, David.
Thanks for having me. And boy, there's a lot to clear up here.
Yes, a lot
to unpack.
Let me give you the website, too, protectingtaxpayers.org. We have a link up at our page for your reference as well. So what is Obama using as his foundation for the claim that he tweeted?
So let's first of all say that, you know, it's good to see that Obama has admitted we have a strong economy. I mean, we've had Democrats for the past year at their debates and, you know, just talking about how bad the economy is. So let's take that W, right?
Okay.
Is that we know that Obama says it's a strong economy. And there's really nothing to back up what he's saying that he's responsible for. And the reason I say that is because you can't point to anything that he did while he was in office that helped the economy. Now, President Trump, you can. You can look at what he's done with regulations, cutting regulations, and tax reform. I mean, tax reform really was the big event that got this economy chugging along again. And when I say that, I mean this because small businesses were able to expand. You had individual, you know, tax reform. You had corporate tax reform, and it really just gave a shot in the arm to the economy. And that's why we're having 2.8% growth every year at this point.
Well, you mentioned that growth rate too. I think back to the Obama years. I remember him saying in press conferences. I watched CNBC on a regular basis for all these years. His administration people and the Fed people would be on there all during those years saying, well, 1% growth, low workforce participation. Their words, that's just going to have to be the new normal. So that was, if that was boom times that he's now wanting us to believe, you know, where does a historic low workforce participation rate and the predictions of a 1% growth, and by the way, job creation coming to an end, his own CBO said that. They predicted around 2016, 2017, there'd be a reduction at that point.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, things were really bad during the Obama years. And like you said, he admitted it. You know, 1% growth is nothing to brag about. I mean, that's something to be ashamed about. And, you know, unfortunately, it all starts with the government. Listen, I wish it wouldn't. I wish the economy could ignore the government. But unfortunately, it's so ensconced that it's part of the economy now. But when you give people more money through tax cuts, when you make it easier for businesses to expand, to set up, that's how you get the growth. And I remember in 2015 and 2016, we were talking about these corporate inversions, basically companies leaving the country to go to another country. I remember Burger King inverted with Tim Hortons. And basically, this was just on paper, but it was important because the corporate tax rate in this country was so high that businesses, there was no incentive to stay here. Now there's incentive for businesses to actually come here, is to return to the U.S. And what I find fascinating is you talk to other countries, and they're cutting their corporate tax rate because we cut ours. This is what competition does. Competition is good for the economy, and we've seen that the past 3 years. So it's really strange that President Obama would come out this week and try to, you know, take credit for something that he didn't do. But I guess that's kind of the MO for a lot of Democrats.
He's apparently resting his laurels on the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act of 2009, the stimulus package that came through. And I looked, I'm not going to go crazy with the numbers here for you listening, but it was an $831 billion package, of which $573 billion went for health care, education, social benefits. Gee, where do you get jobs out of that?
No, you don't. And just a couple of more numbers. $49,000 for tennis courts in Montana. How does that stimulate the economy? I mean, obviously, it doesn't. And what states didn't realize, and they found out pretty quickly after the stimulus was passed, is that there was a cost share with these projects. So it wasn't just federal taxpayers that were on the hook. It was also state taxpayers. there was a 60-40 cost share. So states were on the hook for a lot of additional spending that they didn't realize they were going to be on the hook for until it was too late. And, you know, we talk about $800 billion. I mean, that's a lot of money coming out of the economy and just going through the filter of a bureaucrat in Washington, D.C. to be put back into the economy. And this was a no-win situation for the Obama administration, the stimulus, because you had two choices. One, spend the money really quickly, get it into the economy. Well, that means there's going to be a lot of waste, fraud, and abuse. You can't do the oversight. Or take your time, you know, put it in over a course of 3 to 5 years. But the Obama administration didn't want to do that. They wanted to get it in quickly. So, listen, this was never going to work. You know, and we warned about this. I mean, this is something that, you know, 10, 11 years ago, the free market folks and the taxpayer folks said, listen, this isn't going to work. We were right. But again, you know, Congress didn't listen.
So with David Williams, president of the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, protectingtaxpayers.org is the website, and you're listening to Issues and Ideas. I have seen the proponents of what Obama is claiming talk about the job creation in quotation marks. Well, if you look at not all, but a good number of the jobs in that era that were created, they came at a cost of five, even six figures per job because there were all these green energy jobs with boondoggles that came and went real fast. So the question becomes, okay, you created the job, but how long does a job last when the company goes under?
Well, I'm so glad you brought up the green boondoggles because those were greatly expanded under the stimulus plan. The electric vehicle subsidy program, which basically subsidizes wealthy electric vehicle owners and subsidized Elon Musk. This was expanded under the stimulus program. We had a bunch of, you know, projects. We had Solyndra that, you know, the program started under George Bush, but Solyndra actually got the bulk of its money in the stimulus. So these green energy pipe dreams, as we call them, just are expensive and don't have the long-lasting jobs that we have now. And, you know, you contrast that to natural gas, contrast that to oil, and just we are, I think, a month away from oil independence where we will be exporting more than we're importing. So this is a big deal, is that green energy costs taxpayers hundreds of billions of dollars. Oil, gas brings in hundreds of billions of dollars to the Treasury. So it's completely and, you know, different when you look at the two forms of energy.
And you have presidential candidates on the Democratic side, Bernie Sanders, who want to eliminate all of these efficient and, by the way, lower carbon footprint forms of energy, natural gas and nuclear in particular.
Right. And their problem is that they're picking and choosing winners and losers. And what we should do is that, listen, if you want to buy a solar panel, if you want to buy a wind turbine, go ahead and do it. Just don't use taxpayer money. You know, it should be all of the above. And the government should not be picking winners and losers. But it's what they do with green energy by giving hundreds of billions of dollars to grants, to subsidies, you name it. They've come up with so many ways to funnel money to the green energy companies. And what I find, and you know, you hear these funny stories, these anecdotes. Elon Musk built a solar panel factory in upstate New York. First of all, he received $750 million to build this factory. Here's the catch, is that it can't be powered by solar panels because there's snow on the roof most of the year, or, you know, a large portion of the year. So it can't be powered by his own solar panels. So he has to use regular electricity. I mean, these are the kinds of silly things that are happening.
But they come back at you with, well, we can use solar energy and store what we create in electricity. Problem with that is the storage capabilities are a fraction, and I'm talking a real small fraction, of what would be needed to store, to maintain, and make use of that energy, saved energy efficiently. The storage capabilities have not been developed yet.
They haven't. And here's another conundrum for the environmentalists, is that the solar panels and even the wind turbines are made with these rare earth materials, very sensitive, that you have to dig up a lot of the earth to get these elements and these things that, you know, to build solar panels. So building them is bad for the environment, which we never hear about, do we?
And they're also talking about they're not really sure when these panels start to degrade and have to be disposed, whether that they'd have to be treated like nuclear waste and have to be buried in deep caverns somewhere in Nevada.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy, but this is really just how, you know, they just look at one thing and they go, well, we have to go green, we have to go solar and wind, but the consequences to the environment, to taxpayers are, you know, broad-reaching. But if you look at good old-fashioned oil and, you know, now natural gas, I mean, it's really helping this country become richer. And people, I mean, we have starting jobs at six figures in, you know, for natural gas. So this is helping the economy. And that's a key part of why the economy is so strong, is because we have done more exploration.
Well, I guess to the green energy, we can maybe use some of Obama's own words with the considering the subsidies and federal tax money that they received to get to whatever it is that they did. You didn't do that on your own.
That's right. That's absolutely right. And, you know, we just hope that people realize that, you know, when you look at today's economy, and this is something you brought up earlier in the conversation, was the unemployment rate, is that we had the unemployment rate tick up a little bit last month because more people are coming back into the workforce. Under Obama, people just gave up. They just went away. But people are coming back, and we still have historically low unemployment rates across, you know, I mean, you know, for African Americans, for Asians, for Hispanics. I mean, everybody has a job. And if you want a job, you can find a job in this country. And that is significant. And that's why there's so much optimism in the economy. And that's why the Democrats aren't talking about the economy during the debates.
Learn more about this issue, the work of the Taxpayer Protection Alliance. Their website is protectingtaxpayers.org. We've been joined by their president, David Williams. David, thanks for being here today.
Thank you so much.